In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I always start my homily once a year that way on Trinity Sunday. It used to be every homily started that way. Anybody remember that? Yeah, a few. How many of you are old enough to remember when the priests celebrated Mass this way? Oh, not as many as the other Masses. 5:30 last night, every hand went up. I remember it too, but I was young. About 6 or 8 months after I was ordained, I went to the Holy Land with the Abbey. They have a tour, a pilgrimage, and I was not the chaplain. It was the best investment I ever made, I think. And I was with three priests, and every third stop, it was my turn to be the main celebrant. And so it was a real joy. One of the places that we stopped was Bethlehem, where there's a tradition of a certain cave being the one of Bethlehem. And next to it is the cave of St. Jerome. St. Jerome was the saint that translated the scriptures from the Greek and Hebrew into the Latin Vulgate, which is the basis of all modern translations until modern times. And so I was really thrilled to celebrate Mass in his cave. My home parish in L.A. is St. Jerome, where I'll celebrate Mass next weekend, as a matter of fact. And so I was really thrilled to be the one to do it there. So as I came out with the other two priests, one of them was Father Odo, who some of you may remember from the healing Mass, from the Abbey. He's my spiritual director now. I came out, and as I turned the corner, guess what I saw? I saw an altar attached to the wall. It was my first experience of an attached altar, excuse me. And I looked at Father Odo and I said, what do I do now? And he said, figure it out. I said, Father, I'll never forget this as long as I live. Well, there wasn't time to explain it to me, you know, and I wasn't trained. This, I'm talking about the new Mass, not the Tridentine Mass that we've heard a lot about recently. I had to figure it out in my head, and I did figure it out, and I'll share it with you. Is that whenever the priest is speaking to the people, he always faces them. I think this is true in the Tridentine Mass as well. So when I'm addressing God, it would be in this direction, and then I'd say, the Lord be with you, see. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. And then, Father, all-powerful and ever-living God. So one effect that this has, if you've ever seen Mass done this way, and if you ever go to Europe on a pilgrimage, you will probably experience this, is that it gives you a clear sense of who I'm talking to at what time and what we're all doing here together. And I want to share that with you a little bit today on Trinity Sunday, because it helps us to remember. I'm very happy the Mass is the way it is now. It is, however, useful to remember how things were to help us understand how we worship together. Normally, when we pray, God, of course, hears our prayers. But when we come together as one body, not everyone can speak. Of course, we all have our time to speak, particularly when we sing. We sing as one body. And some out of charity don't sing, but we won't talk about that. But I shouldn't have talked about that. And so the priest at Mass collects the prayers and then prays them on behalf of everyone when we are all together as one body. And the Mass has kind of a dynamic tension between the horizontal and the vertical. The horizontal is the fact that we come together as one body in fellowship to support our brothers and sisters as a community, as the body of Christ. We come together to worship together, to praise God together, to learn and listen together, and to upbuild our faith and share a communal and sacred meal with the Lord God, which he will offer us on the altar. The vertical dimension is one we're a little less familiar with, but is also very powerful. And according to the theology of the Mass that we get from the Last Supper, Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he said, take this and eat it. This is my body. I want you to do this in remembrance of me. And so we believe that this is really his body and blood. So what that means is that the Mass is one sacrifice, the same sacrifice God offered on the cross, the very same one, not a different one, not a new one, the same one. And so God the Father is watching us, if you will. The Holy Spirit is called down over the gifts of bread and wine, and they become the body and blood of Christ. So you've got the whole Trinity present at that moment, which is a very awesome moment. And so one of the things that the priest says then at this, before this occurs, he says, pray, my brothers and sisters, that our sacrifice will be acceptable to God the Almighty Father. What does that mean? Well, because this is the sacrifice of Calvary, it is always acceptable to God. And so there's going to be a little change in the liturgy in the next 2 years. The Vatican's kind of asked us priests to begin to introduce them, so I'm going to try and work them in my homilies a little bit. The new translation will say this: pray, my brothers and sisters, that this sacrifice, yours and mine, will be acceptable to God the Almighty Father. Yours and mine. We've been saying this in Spanish ever since Vatican II. Only English has got these oddities, I think, English and French. They're going to be brought up to speed. What that means is that the priest is not the only one offering the sacrifice of the Lord. All of us have a sacrifice to offer to God. That's called being a committed Christian. And so our Lord invites us to do this. One of the effects of having the Mass turned around like this is that we can forget that we're all praying together. When the priest faced in this direction, it was very obvious the priest was praying with the people. You see, when I'm turned this way, you can get the false impression that Mass is entertainment or that it's Father's show or that I'm the only one praying in the room. God forbid. The Lord wants us all to be praying. And full, conscious, active participation in the Mass is understanding what's going on. You know, at the offertory, we bring forward the gifts of bread and wine in the collection, and that's all symbolic of our lives and what we offer. So at that moment, all of us should have something that we're going to lift up to God at that powerful moment together. It might be somebody's prayer intention. It might be one of our troubles. Maybe we've been hurt this week by something, or we are asking God's forgiveness, strength for our journey. Maybe we just want to lift up our hearts in praise. But we always are bringing something to offer to God, the sacrifice of our lives. Now, if we're doing this during the week, it will be easier to do it when we come in here. It used to be Catholics had a saying, many of you have heard this, and maybe younger ones have not. What my mother used to say when I complained about the Brussels sprouts that she served on numerous occasions is she would say, offer it up, Gary. Anybody hear that expression growing up? Offer it up. You see, it was a funny expression that we kind of make fun of these days, but you know, there's something to be said for this. What she meant was, unite that with Christ's sacrifice and then you'll really have something. What do I have to offer to God? The poverty of my existence, you know? What are we, just a little bit of time and energy put together in one package. But when we unite ourselves to Christ's infinite sacrifice on the cross, that's our salvation in our faith. This becomes a very powerful sacrifice. And this is what we're doing at the Mass. And so this is why the power of that small change in language, pray, my brothers and sisters, that this sacrifice, yours and mine, will be acceptable to God. The story that came to mind this week that can help us to understand this a little is Mother Teresa of Calcutta, now Blessed Teresa. Everybody knows what she did. She had an experience of God while already in the religious life and felt this call to serve the poor in a very radical way in a country that was not of her own. She was from Yugoslavia, I believe. And And so she, after she had this experience, it was as if God quit talking to her. She went to Mass. She had a holy hour before the Blessed Sacrament. She prayed with the Scriptures, and she felt nothing. I can't hardly imagine how you could go on. And yet, after experiencing that in her faith, she went out and sacrificed herself for others. She offered her life as a sacrifice, and it was so pleasing to God because she wasn't getting a reward every time she did it, you know? And so we too, in small ways and large, are offered the opportunity to offer sacrifice to God. Here at Mass, once a week for most of us, we have a chance to do this together and to be reminded of the infinite love that the Holy Trinity offered us in sending His Son Jesus to die for us so that we would live forever. And so we ask our Lord to help us with our own small sacrifices, and united with His, they are the most powerful sacrifice imaginable. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.